Blog Talk Radio.
Are on the air for Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, March the 10th, and we're looking forward to talking about some racing that's going to take place this weekend, and there's a whole lot of that going on. And here to help me do the previews tonight is our co-host, Brian Eberle. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, Sharon. How you doing?
Oh, doing well, and we've got a lot of racing to preview this weekend. On Saturday, the Xfinity Series is going to be racing at Phoenix International Raceway, but there's also a race for the Can-Am East. They're going to have their second race of the season out in Mobile, Alabama, and this is their first time at that track, so it's going to be kind of an interesting race there.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of really excited about that one. I wish it would be broadcast live, but, you know, following along on NASCAR home tracks and on Twitter, that's kind of the one I'm looking forward to this weekend. Mobile's just a half-mile track. I think it's great that they're going to a track they haven't been to before, and a short track is obviously much needed within the NASCAR realm, so I think it should hopefully be a great event and a good show they put on down there.
Absolutely, and as well as the Xfinity Series race, at Phoenix. On Sunday, the 13th, is the Sprint Cup Series race at Phoenix. But also on Sunday, the IndyCar Series is starting their season at St. Petersburg, and that all starts at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on ABC. So another racing series getting their season started this year.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited about that as well. I know not many folks follow the IndyCar Series is NASCAR, but I love watching their races, the diversity of tracks within that series, and just kind of the wide array of drivers and personalities. I think it's another great series to follow along and keep track of throughout the season. So I'm looking forward to what they can produce this year as well.
Absolutely. Now, also, earlier this week, some of the Sprint Cup Series drivers were out at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and that was on Wednesday, and they were doing some tire testing out there, and testing of it was the lower downforce package that they were testing at another 1.5-mile track at Charlotte. So we'll talk a little bit about that sometime throughout the night as well.
Sounds good.
Okay. Now, one other programming note here. Christopher Knight is out at Phoenix International Raceway, and if he gets an opportunity, he'll also be calling in with any news from the track as well as any information he has about any of the other series. I know the Canon West also tested at Irwindale this week. He may have some information there, and he may have some ARCA racing news. So definitely fans will want to stay tuned in for when Chris calls into the show. So that pretty much covers the gambit of what we'll be talking about tonight, Brian.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm also looking forward to hear if Chris won himself any money the few extra days he stayed in Vegas between Vegas and Phoenix. So maybe we can get some insight there as well when we get a chance to talk to him tonight.
Absolutely. He was having a little fun based on the periscopes that he was posting.
Yeah, you got to enjoy life, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with the first race. I'm actually going to start with the Can-Am East group that's racing out at Mobile, Alabama. We mentioned it a few minutes earlier. It's the first race for the series, the Mobile 150. It's the first race for them at Mobile, Alabama. It's the second race of the season. And what's interesting about this race, Brian, is that the person who won the season opener at New Smyrna Speedway in February was Todd Gilliland. He's actually a Can-Am West driver, so he's not going to be in this event. So we're going to have a new series points leader when this race is over.
Yeah, definitely. And not only that, we're likely to maybe see a new face in Victory Lane as well. There's only a small handful of drivers that have been to Victory Lane in the K&N E-Series before in the field. So 25 drivers in the field and a lot of them having a shot to pick up their first series win. I think it should be a good battle on a half-mile track.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a great battle, without a doubt. There's some other drivers. You mentioned, the drivers that you're talking about looking for a win. Some other drivers are just looking to improve their season over what happened at New Smyrna. Dylan Bassett, Austin Terrio, Ruben Garcia had pretty rough starts out there at New Smyrna Speedway. Garcia finished 21st. Terrio and Bassett finished 24th and 27th out at New Smyrna. They're hoping to get better races because we know that all of those drivers are better drivers than what that season opener produced for them.
Yeah, for sure, and especially Austin Terrio with the injury he suffered last year in the Truck Series and now not really having himself a Camping World Truck Series ride. I think that him doing well could really go a long way for his career and kind of allowing him to kind of move back up the ladder. Another driver who has had a start at Mobile before in the ARCA Racing Series is Sarah Cornett-Ching. She didn't do probably as great as she would have liked to at New Smyrna. Finished 22nd. But I did see that she had a press release today. They signed a new sponsor for the balance of the season, Dickies. They kind of make some heavy-duty outdoor construction, different kind of wear clothing. I think that's a great sponsor to have in NASCAR, just with the fan base and kind of the crowds that NASCAR draws. So I think that'll be something for her to kind of get some more motivation for her season, as well as wanting to give them a good showing in their first race on the car this weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sarah Cornett-Ching has proven to be a great racer, and yeah, she had a rough start at New Smyrna Speedway, but I expect to see her up there contending in the top five and for wins before the season is over. She did really well in the ARCA Racing Series last year, and I'm sure she's going to do well in the Canyon and East. And, Dickies as a sponsor, that was really big news for her today. And look for her to be one of the contenders. There's actually three females that are going to be racing in the race out there at New Smyrna this week. Allie Kern is one of them. She is from the Rev Racing Group that's racing the K&N Series. And then also Dominique. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. Do you know how to pronounce her last name?
I'm glad you took a shot at it because I thought I'd butcher it as well. I think it's Van Wierning, but I could be completely butchering that as well. So
yeah, Van Wieringen or something like that. And I hope that we can have her on the show at some point here and she can clarify all of that for us. Three females, really strong racers that are all going to be competing in this event this weekend. And I think that's going to be exciting to watch as well.
Yeah, exactly. Dominique finished, 10th in her debut at New Smyrna in the K&N E-Series. And then recently in the CARS Super Late Model Tour at Concord last season, half-mile track, somewhat similar to what they're going to run on this weekend at Mobile. And she finished third there, so I think that she got some good experience on this type of track and a good finish on this type of track bodes well for her going into this weekend.
Absolutely. I agree. She finished 10th at New Smyrna, so, if she can do even better here at Mobile, she's really going to make a mark within this series very early in the season. Now, we all know how good H. Scott Motorsports is in the Can-Am program. They have four drivers, Harry Scott Sports with Justin Marks, and J.J. Haley, who's now calling himself Justin Haley. He finished fourth, Tyler Dipple eighth, Harrison Burton finished 13th, and Hunter Blaze finished 29th at New Smyrna. there's some good showings there, but I'm sure all four of those drivers would like to do better coming into Mobile at, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of are the, you know, you want to say the Joe Gibbs Racing of the Xfinity Series. That's kind of what H. Scott Motorsports is, the K&N E-Series, at least in the past couple of seasons. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those drivers end up in victory lane. Justin Haley had several strong showings last year with H. Scott and just seemed to have bad luck and things outside of his control kind of ruined runs for him, and not only in the K&N East, but in the K&N West finale last year at Phoenix. He led 94 of the 101 laps and suffered a flat tire to take him out of contention at the end. So I think he's about due for a win here at some point real soon.
Yeah, I think so too. He's a great little driver, and I think we're going to see great things again from the H. Scott Motorsports with Justin Marks' group. Now, we mentioned Rev Racing earlier. They have some other drivers that are racing this weekend. Colin Cabre is racing. He won his first series race at Dover, which was the finale last year. He finished 11th at New Smyrna. His teammates, Allie Kern, we mentioned her earlier, she finished 20th. Ruben Garcia, 21st. We mentioned him a little bit earlier. We know those guys are all looking for better finishes. And finishing in 23rd was J.A. Jr., who is also known as Jairo Avila. So all of those drivers are looking for to really showcase themselves this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I think all four of them probably would have liked to have a little bit better showing in the opener back in February. So I think they're probably anxious to get back on the track after basically a month off since the first race in the K&N E-Series.
Yep, they sure are. Now, we had Jesse Little on our show last Monday night. I don't know if he had a chance to listen to that or not. But he's got a new deal this season with in the K&N East. With his new team, Rhett Jones Racing. He's also going to be racing through an agreement with Rhett Jones Racing, ThorSport Racing, and Team Little Racing to race some select races in the Camping World Truck Series. But he's going to race at least 6 to 8 races here in the K&N East, and it all starts this weekend at Mobile, Alabama. So he's won in the K&N East Series, and in fact, he's got one win, 2 top 5s, 2 top 10s last season, and in his total of 43 starts, he's registered 2 wins, 12 top 5s, 20 top 10s, which is impressive. So look for good things from Jesse Little this weekend.
Exactly, and they tested at Mobile as well and were pretty quick at the test, and it sounded like Jesse was very happy with how that test went, as well as having the chance to work with Matt Noyce, his crew chief. They felt like they had a good test down there and have some good changes to make to the car to unload pretty strong for this weekend, so I think that bodes well. Obviously, probably a little bit of extra pressure on Jesse with only having the 6 to 8 races and wanting to put the best showing forward and not being able to afford, you know, something going wrong or not having a strong finish with just a limited opportunity and not being able to run the full season at this point.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting there is Jesse is one of the NASCAR Next drivers that's been designated by NASCAR as a future star, so in the Sprint Cup Series. So, you know, funding and the sponsorship thing is so, so important to these drivers. And this is an opportunity for him to showcase his abilities on the track and maybe get some more sponsorship to race more than that 6 to 8 races that they've announced so far.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got support from the NASCAR Technical Institute, which I think is a pretty cool partnership. And great to have them on board and give them some more promotion about their program and get more people interested in the technical side of NASCAR.
Yes, indeed. Okay, now another person making a season debut this weekend is Brandon Gadovic. Brandon's made one start last season at VIR, which is a road course in the K&N East. He finished 12th, but he has 48 series starts. He's earned one win, nine top fives, and 21 top tens in those starts. But this is his first race of the season, so it'll be fun to see what Brandon does this weekend as well.
Yeah, exactly, it will. And another driver I'm kind of looking at this weekend is Spencer Davis. He'll be in the number 41 Chevrolet. I had a chance to talk to him at Iowa last year after he finished second out of the E-Series drivers out there. Real good young guy. I think has a lot of great potential. He had, I think, five or six starts with NTS Motorsports last year in the K&N E-Series and ran really well in basically all of those starts. I think he earned three top fives and four top tens. And I look for a lot out of him. He could potentially leave New Smyrna as the points leader. Not leave New Smyrna as the points leader, but based on his second place finish at New Smyrna, he could very easily leave Mobile as the points leader.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Spencer, he's kind of the de facto leader right now because Todd Gilliland, who actually won that race, is a Can-Am West driver. And by the mere nature that Spencer finished second, he's the highest finishing Can-Am East driver in that season opener. But he has a chance to make it official, I think, with a strong run this weekend. Another driver that we want to keep an eye on is Ronnie Bassett Jr. He had a strong run at New Smyrna, and he's going to be looking to come back this weekend. He officially finished third at New Smyrna, here's what happened. He crossed the finish line first after he had some contact with race leaders, Spencer Davis and Todd Gilliland. However, because NASCAR made a mistake, they didn't call the race at 150 laps. And what happened is they had to go back to the scoring loop of where those drivers were at the end of 150 laps, which meant that Ronnie Bassett wasn't indeed the race winner. He ended up finishing third, which is where he was at the end of 150 laps. So they're coming off of a little bit of controversy there. I'm sure NASCAR has been looking at that since New Smyrna and studying how they can make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that was kind of extremely unfortunate, and I think something that, you know, all the racing we've seen, we've never really seen that mistake made before, at least not from what I've seen in a major series such as the K&N E-Series. It's unfortunate, but like you mentioned, I'm sure they've already put some changes and different things in place to ensure that doesn't happen again. And, you know, and maybe some better procedural things around if it does happen again, kind of how it's handled, because I know it did result in kind of a lot of controversy and confusion, and unfortunate that kind of did overshadow a little bit Todd Gilliland's victory. But it was a heck of a finish, that's for sure. And hopefully
yes,
we see something like that again at Mobile this weekend, and hopefully it ends after 150 laps and doesn't go that extra lap.
Right, and you can imagine, you know, feeling like you're the race winner, only to have it taken away a little bit later when NASCAR corrects their mistake. So Ronnie Bassett, I'm sure, is looking to really go out there and get some redemption and hopefully celebrate in Victory Lane this weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Another driver, Brian, is Kyle Benjamin. Kyle Benjamin had a really good run again at New Smyrna. And out of three, he's one of the drivers. He came home with a fourth place finish at New Smyrna. He has an advantage having competed at Mobile twice in 2013 and 14 with the ARCA Racing Series. So you mentioned Sarah Cornett-Ching had a little bit of an advantage because she's raced with ARCA at Mobile, Alabama before, too. Kyle Benjamin is another one of those drivers who's done that.
Yeah, he is. And, yeah, there are only, to that point, three drivers in the field, the other one being Harrison Burton, who has any previous experience at Mobile. Several drivers did kind of, from what it sounds like, participate in tests down there. So that probably helps them out a little bit. But I think we've got a very kind of green field on this track at Mobile. So I think it'll be interesting to watch, you know, practice speeds as well as how qualifying goes and then how the race turns out on Saturday.
I agree with you. Now, the thing to keep an eye on with Kyle Benjamin, too, is that he's finished twice at that track in second place. So he knows how to get his way around in an ARCA car. The thing we want to see this weekend is, does that translate to what he can do in a Can-Am East car? So, yeah, you're right. Harrison Burton is another driver that has also raced at Mobile, Alabama before, and he's another driver that could do very, very well with H. Scott Motorsports at Mobile this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And out of those three, he's the only one that's had actually been to Victory Lane at Mobile. He won the Super Southern Series race at the track last season, so I'm sure he'd like to put his number 12 H. Scott Motorsports Toyota into Victory Lane this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of drivers. Just about everybody on that entry list wants to do that. But I do think that we've got some drivers that are favorites going into this race this weekend. And we've really tried to make sure that we've touched on all of those drivers. One other driver I want to make sure we mention is Noah Gregson. He finished sixth at New Smyrna. He's had two Can-Am East starts. He finished eighth at Watkins Glen and 10th at Richmond on the road course. He was the runner-up driver in the Can-Am West last year, and also he was the Sunoco Rookie of the Year in the Can-Am West. Is he entered this weekend? Because I see his name on this list of driver highlights, and it kind of surprises me.
I believe he is. I think their plan was to run several of the races that didn't conflict with what the West Series schedule is.
Gotcha.
You're right. I do see him on that list. I can check the entry list here in a few minutes and just ensure he's on there. But I believe his plan was to run this weekend as well.
Oh, okay. So I think that could be another driver to really keep your eye on. Not that he's raced at Mobile before, because I don't think he has, but just that he just seems to be so adaptable to any track he gets behind the wheel and gets out there and races. So it's going to be a fun race to watch. And just to remind friends to check your local listings, because they're racing this Saturday at 2 o'clock out there at Mobile, Alabama, at the Mobile International Speedway. But the broadcast of that race is going to be on NBCSN on Thursday night, the 17th. They have not yet announced officially the time, but you want to kind of make a note to yourself to check your local listings on the 17th of March. To see if you can't DVR that race if you're not able to watch it when it does broadcast.
Exactly. I expect it to be a good one and something that fans will want to DVR. And the nice thing about the length of these races is they're short and quick, so it's something you can easily sit down and catch up on after when it airs on that Thursday night.
Okay. Are there any other shout-outs that you want to make before we move on, Brian?
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty good job of covering the field and some of the main drivers to look out for, as well as you know, the three females that we have in the field this weekend. You know, 25 cars, only six of those drivers have ever won in the E-Series before. So I think it'll be quite interesting to watch. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I think I'm going to pick Spencer Davis to pick up his first K&N E-Series win this weekend. What about you, Sharon?
Yeah, I think Spencer Davis is a good pick. He did so well out at New Smyrna, and I kind of agree with you. I think that Spencer Davis is definitely one of the drivers to watch. But I'm going to go out on a limb here Gosh, it's so hard to pick somebody. I'm kind of torn between three other drivers that I think could be potential winners this weekend. And I've given you all the reasons why I thought Ronnie Bassett could be end up in victory lane. I also think Kyle Benjamin could be one of those drivers that ends up in victory lane. But the one I'm going to call out is Harrison Burton. He's won at that track before. Yes, he's new to the Can-Am East, but he's one of those drivers that has experience at this track, and as is Kyle Benjamin. So I'm gonna say Harrison Burton is my favorite to win this weekend.
I think that's a very good pick as well, and for all the reasons that you mentioned. And on top of that, he's probably in the best equipment in the series, and obviously,
yep.
I'm sure his dad Jeff is giving him some great advice as well. So I think that that's a great pick.
Well, I think Spencer Davis is a great pick too, but I'm just trying to make sure we're not picking the same guy here.
Exactly. It always makes it a little bit more fun when we all have different picks and can kind of see how it pans out. Who knows, we'll probably both be wrong. But I can't argue against any of those picks, and there's several other drivers I think that could compete for the win as well, but it'll be interesting to watch it play out on Saturday. Or I guess follow it play out on Saturday and watch it on Thursday when it airs.
Yeah, and let's just remind listeners, you can follow along with this race over at Home Tracks, the NASCAR Home Tracks website. They have a race central there. It's powered by Speed 51, and they give live race updates over there. So you'll know minute by minute what's going on there at the track if you can't wait for that broadcast on the 17th. And I'll tell you what, I've done that a few times where I followed the race over at Race Central at NASCAR Home Tracks, Brian, mm-hmm. and it does not take away from watching it when the broadcast comes on NBCSN. It's still fun to watch that race.
Yeah, definitely not. And NASCAR Home Tracks, they do a fantastic job of having those updates on there. I think it's the next best thing to being there in person or being able to watch the broadcast live. Another good follow for this weekend for anyone that doesn't already follow him, I'll give him a shout out here, is Matt Weaver. He's an Alabama native. He'll be there to cover it. That track is near and dear to his heart, so to speak. So I think he'll do a great job
mm-hmm.
of providing coverage and updates as well. So give him a follow, people, if you don't already. And hopefully it's a great race this weekend.
That's a great shout out, Brian. Thanks for doing that. That's awesome. I had something else I wanted to say there, and I forgot it already. I know what I wanted to say. And if you're out there in Mobile, Alabama, you want to get out there to the track. This is going to be a fun race to watch, and tickets are still available. You can get out there, right out there to the racetrack, and watch these guys race. It's going to be some of the best racing you'll see. Win the K&N Pro Series on a short track. So get out there to the track and watch them if you're anywhere in that area, and be like Matt Weaver and get out there to the track.
Yeah, definitely. Tickets are reasonably priced. I think you're going to see a great race, and they do a great job of having the drivers have a chance to interact with the fans. I'm sure there'll be an autograph session and various other opportunities to kind of meet and greet with some of the drivers in the 25-car field. So I think it's a great opportunity, and hopefully fans get out and support it a lot at Mobile so they can kind of keep coming back there in the future, and hopefully it'll become a staple on the K&N E-Series schedule.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's going to be a good one. I can't wait to find out who wins it, to be honest with you. I really going to be interesting. Okay, now let's go ahead and move on to the Xfinity Series, because they're racing, as we mentioned, out there at Phoenix International Raceway. Phoenix is where, and I just want to make a quick shout-out about this, because Phoenix is where normally the Can-Am West has their season opener, a day or so before the top three series, before NASCAR's Xfinity and Sprint Cup Series comes in to Phoenix. This year is going to be a little bit different. They're not going to open their season at Phoenix this year. They're opening their season next week out at Irwindale Speedway. And if you follow the Can-Am West drivers, a lot of them have been posting. I know I saw some posts from some of the drivers saying that they've been out at Irwindale today testing. So they're getting ready for their season opener that's going to take place next weekend. So for those of you who are thinking the Can-Am West is going to open up their season this week, it is different from previous years. They're not going to be there, but they will be opening up that season next weekend.
Yeah, I think that'll be a great opener for them, too, at Irwindale. And I'm sure for those listening to the Monday night show, I would assume Sal's going to be out there to cover one live next weekend. That's what I would assume. So that should be another great show.
Okay, I think so, too. Now, the Xfinity Series is also racing on Saturday. The time is real close to the same time that the K&N East is racing at Mobile. It's the Exalta Faster, Tougher, Brighter 200 at Phoenix International Raceway, Saturday, March the 12th. Fox will start their coverage at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The race time is going to be around 2:30 Eastern Time. So while you're preparing to watch the Xfinity Series, you can also keep your eye on what's happening in that Can-Am East race. Radio coverage on MRN, SiriusXM as well. The drivers will be racing 200 laps, 200 miles. That's a one-mile track out there at Phoenix. And always produces some fantastic racing. I'll tell you what, there's somebody who is a native of Phoenix that's going to be racing, and he usually does pretty good at Phoenix, and that's J.J. Yaley. That's his hometown track, so that's going to be fun to see him racing. He's making his 13th series start at the track. He has three top tens, an average finish of 19.4, but he's in a new team with a new team this year. He's racing the number 14 TriStar Motorsports Toyota this weekend. So, what do you think of that, Brian?
I think it's a good opportunity for him to have a strong finish. We're obviously going to hear, like we normally do, the kind of Cup driver domination, I'm sure. But top 10, top 15 finish for J.J. Yaley, I don't believe is out of the question. Before I forget, that's quite the mouthful for a race name this week as well. Exalta Faster, Tougher, Brighter 200. I'm sure the announcers will have some fun with that.
Yeah, that is a mouthful. I totally agree. Now, another kind of exciting thing that's happening this weekend, Brian, is GMS Racing is going to be entering the Xfinity Series for the first time this season with their driver, Spencer Gallagher, driving the number 21 Chevy. Gallagher is a native of Las Vegas, but he's going to be making his Xfinity Series debut as well as his race team this weekend. He actually races full-time in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. That's where he's racing for points. So he won't be racing for points here, but he's got nothing to lose. I'm sure they're going to be going all out for it.
Yeah, I think what GMS Racing's been doing is great. It's been awesome to see them build up their program kind of like they have. You know, Grant Enfiger winning the ARCA Series Championship for them last year, and then them continuing to kind of expand their truck program this year, having Enfiger drive and have success with them. And now giving Gallagher the shot at the Xfinity level, hopefully that's something where they can continue to build upon and expand their organization. And I know we've had Spencer on the show before, and I've had a chance to interact with him a couple times at the track. Definitely a funny guy. So hopefully that'll things will go well for them this weekend in their debut.
Yeah, he has a really good sense of humor, and he's one of those guys that likes to enjoy life. So, yeah, I think Spencer's really going to enjoy racing out there at Phoenix doing well out there. Now, we've got some drivers doing double duty. There's four drivers doing double duty. You mentioned it a little bit earlier that you kind of anticipate that there might be some Sprint Cup domination again this weekend. We've got Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, and Brad Keselowski They're all four, by the way, Xfinity Series champions, and that's where they really kind of got their momentum, if you will, that propelled them into the Sprint Cup Series. They're coming back to race here at Phoenix in the Xfinity Series.
That is kind of cool when I did see that, you know, that all four are prior champions. You know, and one thing we talk a lot about, Cup driver domination, but I don't feel like there's quite as many drivers, Cup drivers themselves, running in these races anymore. It's just unfortunate that the three or four that typically are typically the three or four that are always up front, and not necessarily just Cup drivers, but that Cup equipment is, you know, just so much better than the Xfinity Series regular teams. So it's, you know, kind of a tough situation there. I mean, sponsors obviously want to sponsor, you know, the big time drivers and the big time names. So it is what it is. Hopefully it'll, you know, lead to some other drivers getting opportunities. I know Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski have done so much to build up their Truck Series teams, and now hardly run in that series. So I think that what they've done there is great, and hopefully it maybe leads to some other drivers and teams trying to do that in the future.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. I agree. Sorry, I am doing a little double duty here, so I apologize for that. But yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts, Brian, because we talked about this a little bit on Monday night, and maybe you just talked about this and I totally missed it because I was doing some double, some multitasking here. But I think Busch being in this series is a very, very positive thing. And I know not a lot of fans agree with that. Is that what you were just talking about, Brian?
Yeah, kind of. More so what Busch and Keselowski have done in the Truck Series. But, you know, I think that hopefully it kind of will lead to some more opportunities where a sponsor says, okay, we want to see Kyle Busch in the car for 8 or 9 Xfinity races, and we want to put, you know, this young hotshot driver in for the other, you know, 20 races in a season. So, you know, we kind of saw that happen at the Truck Series level with Kyle Busch Motorsports, and now you've got it this season.
That's
where,
right,
I don't think he's even going to run a Truck Series race, and he's running, you know, two full-time truck teams and splitting a third truck with Daniel Suarez and Cody Coughlin. So I think that, you know, what he's done there, maybe that'll kind of lead to some things at the Xfinity level at some point, especially if some of these guys, you know, get a little bit older and maybe step back how often they compete. I know Kyle's already not competing at the restrictor play tracks anymore in the Xfinity Series, and, you know, that maybe can kind of continue. As maybe he runs fewer races in the future. Again, it's so much of it, I feel like, these days is sponsor-driven, and that's what's going to ultimately drive these decisions. But, you know, for fans to get all upset about it, you know, at this point it kind of is what it is. I don't think it's going to go away. NASCAR's never going to say, oh, Cup drivers can't run in the Xfinity Series, you know, outside of the final race of the season with the Chase this year. But I think it's something we'll continue to see throughout the year. And, you know, I think you just got to kind of take a look at some other things when you're watching the races, you know, the drivers in the championship points battle, those Xfinity Series regulars. Look at some of the smaller, you know, mid-pack teams, and maybe they're having a good finish, and, you know, 12th place is a great finish for them. So I there's a lot of different things that you can watch and look at, as opposed to just the fact that, you know, Kyle Busch is leading 199 in the 200 laps.
I totally agree. That's 100% right on the mark as far as I'm concerned. There are so many other things that fans can keep their eyes on throughout that race to make it exciting and fun to watch. And that's what I think they're missing out on by being so focused on the fact that Kyle Busch is winning another race. They're missing out on some of the other great racing that's taking place throughout the event. And I think it's so understated as well how much Busch does for some of these younger drivers that are coming up through the ranks. And you talked about it in the Camping World Truck Series and in the Xfinity Series. And it's not just the Joe Gibbs Racing drivers that have said that they've learned from a driver like Kyle Busch. And we saw that really at the track last weekend, because finishing second and third were Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones, and Kyle Busch mentioned it in his post-race interview. Nobody calls him and talks to him more than Daniel Suarez. And he takes the time to mentor these guys as they're coming up through those ranks and to help them become better racers. And I think that just speaks volumes about Kyle Busch as a person. He's out there winning those races, but he's helping these other guys learn how they can beat him. And these drivers are students of Kyle Busch, and they're out there watching what he's doing out there on that racetrack. And that's something I think, too, is something that can be interesting for fans to keep their eyes on as they're watching these races as well. And don't think it's just the Joe Gibbs Racing drivers. There's a lot of other drivers that have told us that Kyle Busch has helped them in their careers.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You make a great point there. And, yeah, you did mention, you know, the Suarez talking about how much he's been helped out by Kyle Busch. And, you know, a lot of the drivers mentioned that, you know, the Xfinity Series regulars, I'm sure it's frustrating, but they kind of like the fact that, you know, they got to go out there and try to beat, you know, some of the best of the best. You know, and the fact that maybe you do beat Kyle Busch in a race or, you know, you finish in the top three and you finish ahead of some of these Cup guys, it's got to be a pretty great feeling as well. So I think that, you know, I like the mix of the Xfinity Series. I just wish that we could get some of these regulars up there a little bit more, and hopefully it's not always the Kyle Busch show. We can see some more racing for the lead, but I'm not sure that we'll see anything different this weekend at Phoenix than we've seen the last two weekends, but still always interested to watch and find out, that's for sure.
I totally agree. Okay, I think we've kind of covered that, but again, I just think it's great to see these drivers coming down into these series. Keselowski, by the way, is another driver that has a Camping World Truck Series team, and you know, he's looking to develop his drivers as well. Let's talk about some drivers that are really moving up the ranks here, because Erik Jones did not have a good start at Daytona, and he's been moving up the series points over the last couple of races, Atlanta and Las Vegas. But another driver that's doing that is Brennan Poole. He had a rough start. He finished 27th at Daytona, and it kind of buried him back at 18th place. But he finished 14th at Atlanta, and he finished 11th last week, and he's up to 11th place in the point standings now. So that's pretty good for Brennan Poole.
Yeah, I think it's been great, you know, that he's kind of gotten a shot this year. I mean, he ran some limited schedule stuff last year. He's had some success in the ARCA Racing Series in the past. I think the fact that he's getting kind of a shot to run with Chip Ganassi this year is great, and kind of to another point we were just talking about a little bit before of other things that, you know, fans can watch during the race is the Rookie of the Year battle in the Xfinity Series this year. I think it's going to come down to the Joneses between Erik and Brandon Jones, but, you know, you've got Poole in there as well, so you've got, you know, a lot of young drivers to kind of watch and keep an eye on and kind of follow that battle throughout the year.
Absolutely. There's some exciting things going on there. And these are all drivers, they're competing for Rookie of the Year, but they're also competing to get the best point standing they can in the Xfinity Series. And trust me, these guys are watching the points in this series, and this is another thing for fans to keep their eyes on and that can make this series exciting, because we know 12 of these Xfinity Series drivers are going to be in the chase when it begins during these last seven races of their season. So you want to know who are the top 12 drivers in points, because this is one series where points is going to make a big difference over who's going to be in that chase.
Yeah, you make a great point. I mean, no one really talks points in the Cup Series anymore because they really kind of don't matter for the most part. And I think that's kind of how the Camping World Truck Series might come down to this year as well. But as we've seen in three races, we've had no Xfinity Series regulars win, so no one's locked in a chase spot yet. So that those points are going to be ever so important this year, as well as, you know, drivers really wanting to get themselves into the inaugural chase for the additional sponsorship exposure, as we know that funding is ever so critical.
And I think especially this year with the chase, and I think honestly, Brian, I think we might see a lot of changing of who's leading the points in the Xfinity series this season. We've already seen one leader change. Elliott Sadler was leading after the first two races. Daniel Suarez took the lead at third race, but he's only 3 points ahead of Elliott Sadler and 7 points ahead of third place Ty Dillon and fourth place Brandon Jones. The top of that points list is pretty tight.
Yeah, a lot of flip-flopping back and forth between those drivers, and I can't wait until they get to the first standalone race of the season as well to see who will be the first, or potentially the first driver to go to victory lane from the Xfinity Series regular standpoint. But I think it'll be great to watch that points battle flip-flop around through those top four or five drivers, as well as to kind of see, you know, the 10th, 11th, 12th spots kind of up for grabs as we get closer to the chase cutoff.
And don't forget, too, the Dash for Cash is also going to give an opportunity for two Xfinity Series regulars to secure a place in the chase.
Yeah, you make a great point. I kind of forgot about that point a little bit, but I love the Dash for Cash program, and the fact that that always has kind of put an increased focus on the Xfinity Series regulars in the field as well. I had a chance to cover a couple of Dash for Cash races last year, and I think that's just great to, you know, something else to follow, a little bit of extra money for those guys, and I think it does mean a lot. It's a great program. Several of the drivers have always talked about how much they love that program, and that, you know, Xfinity continued what Nationwide had done with the Dash for Cash.
Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely something that fans will want to watch very closely when it comes around this season, because it is a fun added excitement that that NASCAR has kind of put into the Xfinity Series program. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about Daniel Suarez, because, man, we talked a lot last year about how much he impressed us. I think this is going to be another year that Daniel Suarez is going to continue to impress us. He is making history. And if we can add one more point onto reasons why fans should watch the Xfinity Series, this is one of those reasons. The history that can be made in this series this season. When he took over the series points lead in the Xfinity Series, he became the first driver born outside of the United States to ever lead any of NASCAR's national series. So that was really big news when Daniel Suarez took over the series points lead.
Yeah, it definitely was. And just think about that, how great it'll be to watch that race when he finally does get that first victory. I feel like it's got to be coming at some point this season. You know, like you mentioned already, we both talked last year how he impressed us. I mean, he impressed me going back how much he improved the second time to tracks. And now the fact that he's going to get to go, you know, the second time to some of the tracks they only visit once, and for his third time to the tracks they visit twice in a year, I think that it's going to show even more improvement. And, you know, we gotta take a shot and see if we can get him on the show some week, because I really like what he's been doing and what he brings to the series. And having a chance to just talk with him a couple times last year, he just seems so down to earth and just so thankful for where he's at in his career and the opportunities he's been given. So I think it's a great to see, a great personality, and a guy that's run well at Phoenix before. As well, so maybe this weekend could be that elusive victory.
It could be because it's a track that he enjoys racing at, and I'm sure a lot of family and friends can watch him there as well. And I think he's looking forward to it. Let's talk about some of his stats. He's made two starts at Phoenix in the Xfinity Series. His average finish is 7.5 in those two starts. He is ranked in the top 10 in three major stat categories, seventh in the pre-race driver rating of 101.1. He's fifth in the average running position at 7.4, and he's first in the percentage of laps run in the top 15 at 100%. and three starts this season. The three starts that he's had this season, Suarez has one top five and three top tens. His average finish in those first three races this season is 5.7. That's incredible.
Definitely is, and that's the reason why he's your Xfinity Series points leader at this point. And we'll see if he can continue the momentum this weekend on the mile track in Phoenix.
Yeah, absolutely. I there's plenty of reasons for fans to watch this series, and if they're tuning out, they're really missing out on some great stuff here. So, who's your race pick?
Here we go. It's a tough one again because I really think it's going to be Kyle Busch, but I want to pick someone different. I'm going to go with Erik Jones this weekend. Of the drivers in the field this weekend, he's got the second best driver rating at Phoenix. He's done well there in a couple prior Xfinity Series starts. He's had some Truck Series experience there. I think he might have the best shot of giving Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski a battle for the win this weekend.
Okay, you left the door open for me. Thank you. I'm gonna say this is the weekend for Daniel Suarez. I think he just might pull it off this weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. I think he's definitely going to be up there in the top five, and it would not surprise me if he doesn't pull off the win and finally gets that elusive victory celebration in Victory Lane.
Can't argue with that pick either. Could be his weekend, and another great pick.
Yeah, I think yours is a good pick. And there's so many that we could pick, actually, which makes it hard to really pick one. But your pick is a great pick as well with Erik Jones. Erik Jones is a tough competitor, and he wants to be the number one in points. He wants to be the one that wins every race. So he's a tough competitor, and I think he's a great pick as well.
Exactly. And one other driver I think people should look out for this weekend, and we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, is Dylan Lupton. He was supposed to get the start last week. From what I heard, they had some issues with his seat, and it wasn't quite up to the standards that they were hoping for, kind of for safety and for his comfort inside the car. So he did not run last weekend. Sounds like he was supposed to originally have three races. They might add another race at some point a little bit later on this season, but he definitely will be in the car this weekend at Phoenix. And he's had some success at Phoenix before in the K&N West Series. Not my pick for a race win, but definitely could have a strong finish for that team this weekend running for RSS Racing.
I agree. Definitely one of the drivers to watch. And he's a NASCAR Next driver as well that fans will want to keep their eye on. So any other drivers you want to make sure we mention before we move on?
I think, again, when you kind of look at some of the Xfinity Series regulars, Bubba Wallace Jr., Justin Allgaier, a couple guys we haven't talked about yet tonight. But I think that they could be up there and have strong runs. And Blake Koch looking to continue that momentum from their team this year. They kind of had some bad luck last weekend, but Xfinity Series regular team, a new team this year. So another guy to keep an eye on this weekend.
Yeah, those are all great names to shout out. And you know what? I'm going to throw in here, too. Really keep your eye on Justin Allgaier. I think this is a breath of fresh air for him. I've mentioned it before, the fact that he's coming back to the Xfinity Series. He's done well in this series before, and I think he's going to breathe new life into him this entire season. So definitely a driver to keep your eye on. And you and I both watched Justin Allgaier because he's from Illinois. We're both from Illinois, and he's really come up through the ranks. He's a great racer, and I think it's great that he's racing the Xfinity Series this year.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I know you can look at it as a step back from the Cup Series to the Xfinity Series, but I kind of think it's a step forward. He's obviously running for one of the stronger teams in junior motorsports, great teammate in Elliott Sadler, obviously going to have, the third car running this weekend with Chase Elliott. I think Kevin Harvick's going to drive a few races this season, and obviously you know, being team owner Dale Earnhardt Jr., he's got a lot of great people around him. I expect him to kind of be up there in that battle of people we're talking about in the Xfinity Series points this season as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Okay, let's go ahead now and talk about the Spring Cup Series that's racing on Sunday. That is the 13th of March. They're racing the Good Sam 500 at Phoenix International Raceway. Fox, your local Fox affiliate, will run start their pre-race show at 3 p.m. The race will start sometime around 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On the radio, you can listen to MRN or SiriusXM Radio, Channel 90. They are racing 312 laps for a total of 312 miles. So another fun race that I think we're going to see with the Sprint Cup Series this weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. And let me just kind of get to my notes here. Ty Dillon is definitely going to be a driver to watch. He's going to be back in the number 14 this weekend for Tony Stewart.
Yeah, getting another opportunity in the number 14 Chevrolet is great for Ty Dillon. He made a start at Phoenix last year, finished 27th, so he'll probably want to look to improve upon that a little bit this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he last week, I'm sorry, in Atlanta that he was racing, he started 18th and finished 17th. Did you say that? I know you said
no,
what he
did
last week.
I was talking about. Yeah, I was talking about what he did at Phoenix last year, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I think he's going to be looking to definitely improve on his finish last year, but he's going to be looking to try to do better than what he did last week at Atlanta as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Ty Dillon can do in that number 14 car. Now, another Dillon I want to talk about is Austin Dillon. He had four wins on a partial Xfinity Series schedule last year. He's on the verge of visiting Victory Lane for the first time in the Sprint Cup Series. He had his third full-time Sprint Cup season. He finished 9th at Daytona, 11th at Atlanta, 5th at Las Vegas. Those are great finishes. He's 10th in the series point standings. And so he's looking forward to this race at Phoenix this weekend.
Yeah, he's definitely got some good early season momentum going for them. You know, they've showed some speed early this year. I think the lower downforce package seems to be kind of playing into their hands with the 11th at Atlanta and the 5th at Vegas, like you mentioned. And, you know, 10th in the standings, I think, is probably a little bit ahead of where many expected him and the RCR bunch to be at this point in the season. So maybe a trip to Victory Lane isn't too far off for him. But I like what I've seen out of Dillon and that RCR bunch so far this year.
Yeah, definitely a couple of drivers to keep your eyes on this weekend. Now, we've got a really exciting start to the Rookie of the Year battle here in the Sprint Cup Series as well. We haven't had that in a while, so this is going to be fun to watch between Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney kind of won that this weekend. He ran, both of them, though, ran in the top 10 for a good part of the race. Blaney ended up with a sixth-place showing, which is his career high finish at the race last weekend. Elliott unfortunately got messed up in a wreck on lap 225 that kind of messed up his day. But Blaney is now ahead of Elliott in the point standings by 7 points. Brian Scott and Chris Buescher are both tied for third. They're 10 points back, and Jeffrey Earnhardt, who ranks fifth, is 22 points back in that Rookie of the Year battle.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great to watch this year between Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney, you know, two young drivers who have famous NASCAR dads and great people to learn from. And I think that, you know, what we've seen out of them early, Blaney with a sixth-place finish, and Elliott was running so strong before getting caught up in that wreck that was really nothing of his own doing. I mean, in his post-race interview, he was real, real tough on himself, but I think that kind of bodes well for what we'll see out of him later this year, as well as he continues to get more time behind the wheel of the Sprint Cup car. But I think Elliott and Blaney will be kind of a little bit of a back-and-forth battle throughout the year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's another battle that's going to change hands a few times before it's all said and done.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to last week's race. Kyle Busch made some incredible moves last week when he took over the lead. And I have to say, Brad Keselowski equally had some good moves to regain that lead back. And I got to say, at Phoenix, we might see more of the same, because in 21 starts at Phoenix, Busch has one win. He has four top fives, 13 top tens, and two poles. He has the fourth best average running position at 11.6. He's the fifth best with driver rating at 97.3 among the active competitors. Dating back to just last season, Busch has logged a top five finish in his last seven starts. Is he going to keep it going at Phoenix?
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, Phoenix has been a track that's been good to him in the past. That team's been running so strong this year, you know, continuing their momentum from the championship last year. But again, a shout out to that awesome passes by him last week when he on that restart. Sixth to first, I really thought that he'd be able to kind of hold everyone off at that point, but that was definitely a great move and something that, if you haven't seen it, definitely go out there and look for it for that move on lap 224 of Sunday's Cobalt 400.
Yeah, he showed that he's definitely a driver that has some talent behind the wheel. That was as impressive a move as I think I've seen in the Sprint Cup Series.
Yeah, definitely one of the more impressive moves we've seen this year with the lower downforce package at this point. And hopefully we'll continue to see more of it as the season progresses.
Okay. Now let's talk about Dale Earnhardt. He's kind of the defending winner at Phoenix. A lot of people are saying Kevin Harvick is the guy to beat this weekend. But Dale Earnhardt has also won. He won last fall's race at Phoenix. I shouldn't say the defending winner. He won last fall at Phoenix. He's looking to do it again this weekend at the spring race. He was followed by Kevin Harvick, who finished in second. Joey Logano was third. Kyle Busch, fourth. And Jimmy Johnson was fifth in that last race in the fall. In 27 starts at Phoenix, Earnhardt has three wins, eight top fives, and 13 top tens. He's been strong in his last six Phoenix starts with four top fives and five top tens. So I think Earnhardt could be one of the drivers to watch this weekend. He finished eighth at Las Vegas. He was a runner-up at Atlanta. What's he going to do at Phoenix, Brian?
You know, it is a track where I feel like he's really kind of improved at over the past several seasons. You know, with those stats that you mentioned, his average finish overall at the track is just 17th, but that's obviously been greatly improved by how well he's done in the last several seasons. As we've already kind of touched on, I don't know if anyone can hold anything to Kevin Harvick necessarily at Phoenix, but I would expect Dale Earnhardt Jr. to at least be a factor and be up there around the top five all day on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. Kevin Harvick's going to be tough to beat. Dale Earnhardt did it last fall, but let's talk about Kevin Harvick now, because Kevin Harvick has some amazing stats when it comes to Phoenix International Raceway. He's won five of the last seven races, including four of the last five at that track. His record, seven victories at Phoenix, is pretty impressive, and I'm sure he wants to make it eight on Sunday. Harvick has 1,345 career laps led in his 264 laps led in a single race. That was November of 2004. Both of those are track records. And since they repaved the track at Phoenix, that was the fall race of 2011, Harvick leads all drivers with five wins, a 4.6 average finish, 1,028 laps led, and 130.1 driver rating. He's already started the season off strong. He finished fourth at Daytona, sixth at Atlanta, and seventh at Las Vegas. Is he going to be celebrating in victory lane this weekend, Brian?
He very well could. I mean, that's been his place, especially since the repave. They might want to just rename it Kevin Harvick International Raceway at this point, with, as well as he's run. But as we know, anything can happen. I'm sure most drivers in the field are hoping that he'll have some sort of equipment issue or blown tire, because they really haven't been able to find a way to beat him otherwise. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on Sunday. But I obviously expect them to be extremely strong again. Another driver who actually does have a better driver rating than Harvick at Phoenix, although not quite as many wins, is Jimmy Johnson. So if you kind of look at the stats overall, Johnson's right up there with Harvick as well, and actually has a better average finish than Harvick does. But as we know, Harvick always seems to find a way to go to victory lane when it comes to Phoenix International Raceway.
He definitely does. And Harvick is just so strong. When on this West Coast swing all together, he's from Bakersfield, California, so he really wants to do well out there, and has done well out there. And you're right, there's some other drivers. Jimmy Johnson has a really high driver rating. His driver rating is 112.6. He could be another driver to watch. He has four wins. That's the second highest wins in the Sprint Cup Series. So I think Jimmy Johnson could also be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to come down again to the normal battle we see between Joe Gibbs Racing and Hendrick Motorsports, but maybe leading their momentum with the 1-2 finish last weekend, Team Penske will have a little bit to say about that as well when it comes to who goes to victory lane on Sunday.
Yep. Okay, we have Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, and Brad Keselowski all in the chase. Are we going to see a repeater this weekend or a new race winner?
Wow, that is a very good question. I mean, Harvick is obviously kind of the favorite pick. I don't necessarily always like to go with a favorite pick just because I want to kind of keep it interesting. I think we're going to see a different driver win this weekend. I'm actually going to go with Carl Edwards to get it done this weekend.
Oh, I think that is an interesting pick. Carl Edwards has been doing really well at Joe Gibbs Racing. He's run into a little bit of bad luck, but he's been doing quite well, I think. I think it was a good move for him to go to Joe Gibbs Racing, and he's definitely a driver to keep an eye on this weekend. You know, I think it is an interesting question when you start thinking about could any one of those other three drivers repeat this weekend. I think it's an interesting story that could develop this weekend as a result of that question, because I think all three of them would like to be the first to have a repeat this year. I think Brad Keselowski could really give him a run for his money, but I think the other two drivers are Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt. I think we're trying to avoid saying Kevin Harvick. I think he's the obvious choice, and I think both of us agree that Kevin Harvick certainly has a chance to win this weekend. But I'm going to say Jimmy Johnson's going to be the first driver to repeat.
That's a pick I can't argue with either. I mean, I think any three of the guys that have locked themselves in definitely have a chance to win again this weekend. Denny Hamlin has been to victory lane once at Phoenix before. Keselowski has yet to win at Phoenix, so maybe his first win at Phoenix as well and picking up a second victory of the season could be potential as well. My biggest surprise last week was I couldn't believe Keselowski hadn't won since Fontana last year, a streak of 33 races. I was like, really? Wow. I mean,
yeah,
I felt like
that
he's
is
still
interesting.
Like, he was pretty shocked. I was like, he hasn't won that long? That one shocked me when I learned that and figured that out last weekend, because I didn't expect that. I guess we saw so much domination out of Logano last year, but the fact that Logano had won five times since Keselowski last won was a definite surprising stat to me.
Yeah, and this is one of those tracks, too, and thank you for bringing that up. I think, you know, that's great info that we want to make sure fans are aware of going into this race at Phoenix International Raceway this weekend. But this is also one of those tracks, Brian, that sometimes people leave with their feelings hurt.
Yeah, the shortest track we've been on this year, so could be a little bit of a beating and banging. Maybe we'll see some rivalries reheat themselves. I think we'll see that as we get closer and closer to the chase cutoff, but it'd be interesting to see kind of how that breaks down this weekend at Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. And in some respects, it might put a little bit of a target on Harvick's back with everybody wanting to kind of break that streak that he has going at that track. And a lot of these drivers wanting to get a win so that they can get in to the chase as well. I mentioned Jimmy Johnson as a potential first one to repeat this year. But, you know, Brad Keselowski has never won, as you mentioned, and he could be another driver that's going to go all out this weekend. And he's shown he can do that, especially at that race last weekend at Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. He's never one to be worried about making friends, so he'll definitely go for it if the opportunity presents itself, I think, this weekend.
Okay, so I think, is there anything we missed that you want to make sure we mention before we move off the Sprint Cup Series, Brian?
I mean, I think we kind of covered it pretty well. Just a couple of drivers I'll be looking to see if they can kind of continue what they've been doing this weekend or pick it up a little bit, perhaps. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has been, you know, running really well for Roush Fenway so far this season. It'll be interesting to see if he can kind of keep it going. And another driver that I'm just wondering what hasn't hit for them yet this year is Clint Bowyer. They've just seemed to struggle so greatly over at H. Scott Motorsports that I'm not really sure what the deal is there. I really thought they'd be a little bit better than they have been. So I think I'll be keeping an eye on those couple of drivers this weekend to see what shakes out for them at Phoenix. But what about you, Sharon? Anyone else you're kind of keeping an eye on the field?
Yeah, I want to see how these rookies do at this track. Matt DiBenedetto has had some races. He's a rookie, he hasn't had a lot of races. Let's put it that way. And I think he's definitely one of the racers to watch this weekend as a new racer at the track. Danica Patrick spends a lot of time out of Phoenix. I think it's going to be interesting to see what she does out there. I think she would love to do well out at Phoenix International Raceway. But Kyle Larson, another driver to keep an eye on. We're going to talk a little bit about him because there was some testing that took place this week at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He had some things to say about the new downforce package and how he really likes that new downforce package. And that's something else that we can talk about at Phoenix. The downforce package, is it going to play much of an effect this weekend?
You know, I don't think it'll be as big of an effect as what we've seen on the mile-and-a-half tracks. I think it's maybe a little bit of a wild card still because no one's been out on Phoenix with the package. So it'll be interesting to kind of see, but I don't think we'll see it play as big of a factor as we will on the mile-and-a-half, as we have on the mile-and-a-half tracks. And I'll be kind of curious to see next week how it plays out when they get to Fontana.
Yeah, I agree. And watch that Rookie of the Year battle. You never know what can happen. We've already seen how a driver can be taken out of it very easily, and that can happen at Phoenix this weekend, and it could shake up that Rookie of the Year battle. So definitely keep an eye on those drivers, I think, this weekend.
Yep, I would agree. I can't argue there.
Okay. With that, I think I want to move on to the test that took place at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. I've got comments from three of the drivers that raced there this week on Wednesday, and they were testing the new downforce package. Some of them you can't quite hear, at least I couldn't when I listened to them earlier today, you couldn't quite hear what the question was, but I think it's clear when you hear what the driver has to say. So kind of overlook the fact that you can't hear what the question is. Really listen hard to what the drivers are saying about the downforce package because it's good stuff. And I've got comments here from Jamie McMurray, Martin Truex Jr., as well as Brian Scott. Which one do you want to start with, Brian? What do you want to hear from most?
Let's go with Brian Scott first.
Okay. I'm going to play that now so that you can hear Brian Scott's comments. The time is a little more than 6 minutes. So, again, be patient with the questions. You're not necessarily going to hear the question. Some of them you might, but really listen to what the driver has to say.
Ran a couple of races with a low downforce package. This test adds yet another set of circumstances that will include for the mix as you get ready for the right combination for the Coca-Cola 600. What are some of the areas that are getting your attention?
Well, I think that the package this year is great so far from what I've experienced. It gives drivers a lot of control over their cars and how they decide to attack a race. We're seeing a lot of green flag runs. I'm not sure if that's a product of this car or just circumstantial, you know, racing. Sometimes we have races that go long green. But I know with talking with other drivers, we all really like this direction. We're really encouraged by the tires that Goodyear's bringing, some of the tires that we're testing here. It's nice to have a tire that has a lot of grip when you start and really falls off. And as a driver, you can be in control, kind of how to use that grip, whether that's early in a run or late in the run. So we're all real encouraged. And, you know, our team is just working hard at trying to improve our performance because it hasn't quite been what we want, but we have some exciting things kind of coming down the pipeline that's going to be hitting the racetrack here pretty soon, and we're excited and we're encouraged about it.
Thank you. To questions from the floor, Steve?
Ryan, I kind of want to, Steve Post with Raceline, want to follow up on what you said about Goodyear providing the tires. Can you just speak to the effort, the energy, and the amount of challenge that it has to be for Goodyear to develop this tire with the new rules package?
Well, Goodyear's been making tires for a long time for our sport. I think that when we told them what we wanted or what we were trying to achieve, I think that they just needed to look back in their notebook a little bit. I think that they know how to make a tire, the type of tire that we want. I mean, they've been doing it for so long, for so many years, and I think it's evident by just hitting the racetrack this year with the low downforce package. And as far as, at least to my knowledge, we haven't had any catastrophic tire issues or a problem that's continuously shown up from different race teams and different people. It's just a tire that starts off good and falls off. I know that that's what we're looking to achieve everywhere we go. Now, Vegas was a little bit different. Vegas maintained a little bit more grip than I think a lot of people thought, but Vegas still is a type of surface that has a lot of grip. I know that we're really excited to come here to Charlotte in May when it's hot and slick. Kansas, Texas, we feel like that's going to be a really good racing product that we're putting out there, and good racing for the drivers and good racing for the fans. And I think Goodyear has just done a great job. Even the tires that we're testing here, I don't think that there's a bad decision that we can make going forward. I think that they're all going to achieve what we want. It's just us as drivers trying to figure out, you know, what maybe feels the best for us and what we think will race the best and put on the best show.
Next question. Kenny, then Bob.
And Steve, just make yourself comfortable. Just just relax.
Hey, he's already tweeted his seat. He's good.
Kenny Bruce with NASCAR.com. Brian, if you were here and it was an open test, what could you do then that you're not able to do here because you're here as part of a tire test?
It's not a lot different. I've been really happy with the flexibility that Goodyear's given us to allow us to work on our cars and to put some things in. that we would actually want to race on this low downforce package instead of just saying, hey, you know, get something that drives comfortable and go out there and run 30 laps for us and give us some wears. So we're actually able to attack our setup a little bit, get a little more aggressive with it, and try some things. The only limiting factor is that Goodyear has a couple of things that you have to do. For instance, one of those things is they want us to do 4 30-lap runs with different combinations of tires and compounds. And so we're 3 runs through with that, so we'll knock another one of those out. And I think Goodyear will be happy, and we can go back and whatever tire that they want us to run the rest of the day, we can go back and work on our setup and attack it a little bit more.
Bob?
Bob Cocker, ESPN. Temps in the mid-70s, how much will that correlate to May?
This track, as everybody knows, Charlotte is one of the most temperature-sensitive racetracks that we go to. So, yes, temperatures are in the mid-70s. I'm sure when we come back in May, they'll be probably north, track temps north of 100, and the track will change a lot. It's just kind of a guessing game. I think overall, my opinion is it'll just get hotter, slicker, and you'll have less overall grip. Hopefully your balance won't change a lot, and I think tires will wear more. I think a hotter surface wears tires more because you just get a higher temperature and stuff on everything. So I think it will be different. Hopefully some of it stays the same, though.
One more question, and then we should hit our 20-minute time or 10-minute time, and then Truex will be here. Who's next? Go ahead, Woody.
Woody came with MRM. Brian, you touched on earlier the start to the season. What is it that you guys are searching for or working toward now that you want to get a little bit better at in particular?
Well, one is just overall performance. Two is the relationship between me and Chris Heroy. We're both learning the Richard Petty organization. I'm learning this low downforce package and these cup cars. I have a little bit of experience in a cup car, but not this package, and not a whole lot of experience. And then we're learning each other. He's learning the equipment and trying to figure out, you know, where Richard Petty's been in the past, and then also how he can maybe help advance them towards the future. It's just a learning. It's just a new group of people and a new circumstance, and we obviously would have hoped to hit the track with a little better performance, but we're trying just to finish races, bring our cars back, and work on them and get them better, knowing that we need to get our cars a little bit better to get up there and run where we want to run.
Thank you for taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks,
Brian
guys.
Scottley.
All right, Brian. That was Brian Scott from Richard Petty Motorsports. He participated in the test out there at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. Another driver who has nothing but good things to say about the downforce package. These guys are really loving it, and it seems like you can't talk about the downforce package without also talking about the Goodyear tire.
Yeah, exactly. I think Brian Scott kind of summed up well what it seems like a lot of drivers and media people and fans alike are saying, is that, you know, they like the tire, that they're matching up. It falls off a lot over the course of a run. It kind of allows you to manage your tire, and it makes managing tires more important, which I think is something that we haven't seen over the last several years. So I really like the direction that that's going in, and I hope it kind of continues. And Goodyear can kind of continue to bring a tire to the track that works well with the lower downforce package.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, he brings up some really good points, too, which is probably why he's one of the participants that are participating in this test. He's driven a Sprint Cup Series car before, but he hasn't driven this package before. And, you know, this gives him a great opportunity, as he said, to kind of match up with his crew chief and get their communications down and, you know, to learn more about the tire of the car and how to manage all of that. And I agree, Brian, that is one of the things that I think makes racing more important or more fun to watch, I should say, is that you can watch how these drivers and teams, come up with their strategy and actually allow that strategy to unfold throughout the race. And they have to know how to manage those tires. And every team's going to have a different plan for how they're going to manage those tires. And to me, that's part of the racing entertainment package that NASCAR provides for us every week. And this new downforce package is delivering.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And Brian brought up another point that I had kind of forgotten about since the race last Sunday, but I've been a little bit surprised by the length of the green flag runs and how we've seen so much of that in those first two races of the lower downforce package. Obviously, it's a lot more difficult for these cars to handle, and you've seen how Fox has done a great job with some of the in-car camera shots of just how much those guys are wrenching on the wheel. I'm a bit surprised that we haven't seen more wrecks early on in the season. So, good. I'm not complaining by any means, but I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't seen more wrecks just with the newer package and the cars being harder to handle. So that was a great point that Brian Scott brought up there that I kind of let slip my mind since last weekend. I was thinking about that when I was watching the race.
I think that is a great point, Brian. And I think what it does is it really allows the racing to show the skill of these drivers, and that's what we're seeing. That's why we're seeing longer green flag runs and longer green flag runs and fewer accidents on the track, fewer cautions. It's because these drivers are so skilled at driving, and they're actually driving these cars now. It's not the other way around. I think that makes it more exciting in a lot of ways, because it's a test of endurance for these drivers to race. One of the reasons the Sprint Cup races are so much longer is because that's part of being an elite driver, is that you're able to sustain, your skill throughout all 500 laps or 500 miles or whatever it is. It's as much about endurance as it is about strategy and tire wear and everything else.
Yeah, it is. That's a great point. And Chase Elliott kind of said during his post-race interview after Atlanta, that was the longest green flag run he'd ever been a part of in any of his racing career. So I think, it's kind of an adjustment, especially for these rookies, now that we've got these long green flag runs and you're not having the yellows, to allow yourself to kind of get some fluids and maybe grab yourself a breath. So I think it's interesting and another element to kind of watch as the season plays out.
Yes, indeed. I definitely agree. Well, Brian, we're getting ready to come. We're winding down to the last few minutes here of the show. We mentioned that the IndyCars are going to be racing this Sunday as well. That's March the 3rd. They're opening up their season at St. Petersburg. Fans can watch 12:30 p.m. on ABC. But also next week, the NHRA is racing at Gainesville the 17th through the 20th. And they've had some huge gains in viewership since Fox is now broadcasting their races pretty much live.
Yeah, I think that's great. Obviously, in this day and age, with being able to be up to date on anything at any point in time, having it live is much better. I mean, it's tougher to go back and watch something if you've already know who won. So I think that's kind of gone a long way, and I hope that continues for them and they see good ratings from it, because it is great that they've been able to do that this season.
Okay. We haven't heard from Chris, but is there anything else that you want to make sure we mention here?
I don't think so.
Talk about what you're working on and your social media handles, Brian.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The best way to follow me is beeberly18 on Twitter. That's kind of where I post everything. I'm participating in the Front Stretch Power Rankings every week. Those will come out on Wednesday. So, either follow Front Stretch's page or I'll tweet it at some point as well. I've been kind of swamped with my day job lately, so I haven't been writing quite as much as I'd like to, but looking to kind of pick that up here in the next few weeks, as well as start getting to the track come April, I believe, end of April at Salem for the ARCA race will be my first live coverage of the season.
And I'm hoping maybe I can get out there to Iowa this year for the races out at Iowa. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely get yourself out there for one of those weekends. They're going to have three race weekends of pretty good stuff this year. It's tough to kind of pick which combo is the best. You know, one weekend's going to have truck and Xfinity, another weekend's going to have the K&N combo event and Xfinity, and another weekend's going to have ARCA and IndyCar. So three great weekends with some great racing that'll occur out there. And as we get closer to, hopefully I can maybe see if we can get Jimmy Small, the track president, to come on the show one night and talk about what they've got going on at Iowa Speedway, because they've been really great to me out there the last three seasons when I've been out there at cover races, and a great track that produces great racing, and it's just a really cool atmosphere out there in the middle of the corn in Iowa.
And I think that's a great idea if we can get Jimmy to come on the show and help us preview you know, one of those weekends. That would be awesome. And we'll definitely do that. We'll have the previews and reviews up at fanforracing.com. I've also been posting under our breaking news ticker all of the practice sessions as well as, you know, the qualifying results and starting lineups for all of the races this weekend as well. So look for that again this week. And, of course, we'll be back here next Thursday night. That's the 17th. Now, Brian's not going to be able to be with me next Thursday night. Joe Lewis, who is not able to be with us tonight, he will be with me next Thursday night. So we're definitely looking forward to that at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on the 17th of March.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll be missing out next weekend. I'll be out in Reno with a couple buddies gambling on the NCAA tournament. So I'll be having some fun out there, but I'll definitely miss not being part of the show next week.
Okay, well, we'll miss you too, Brian. I also want to do a shout-out for our Monday night show. We're looking to get the K&N East winner. Hopefully we'll be able to get that person on our show on Monday night. We also have Tim Huddleston is going to be on the show with us on Monday night, as well as David Talley. David is from Auto Club Speedway, the PR rep out there, and he's going to come out and talk to us and help us preview a little bit of what's going to happen out at Auto Club Speedway that next weekend. So looking forward to talking to all of those guys on Monday night show for NASCAR and Race Talk. And that's on the 14th. We start again at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, followed by at 10 p.m. Eastern time is our NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off with Chris Knight for the fastest half hour in motorsports.
Yeah, that sounds like you guys got a great lineup already for Monday night. That'll be great to be able to have the chance to preview Fontana with their PR department, as well as hopefully grab the K&N East winner from Saturday night at Mobile. So definitely anyone out there that's listening tonight, definitely make sure you tune in on Monday night for what's sure to be a great show.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. And I think we'll work on the 17th is going to be really hard for us to get a guest again, I think. It was difficult to get a guest for tonight. St. Patrick's Day, I think it's also going to be equally hard for me to get a guest for next Monday night. So just be aware of that. We'll try to make it as entertaining and as informative as possible next Thursday night, and we hope you all tune in. So, Brian, thanks for all you do. I think it was another great night of conversation here. I hope we gave fans a lot of information to think about for this upcoming weekend of racing. I appreciate you.
Oh, great. I appreciate it as well. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, and I hope that anyone listened and enjoyed it, and I'll tune in again. And as always, feel free to hit us up on Twitter with thoughts, comments, suggestions, anything you want to hear, anything you want to hear us talk about, any driver you might want to see us try to get on the show. We'll do our best to make that happen. And thanks to everyone listening, and as always, thanks, Sharon, for having me on.
Okay. Always a pleasure, Brian. And again, we'll catch up with you again next week. See you on the other side.
Sounds great. Have a good one.
Good night.